At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Business taxes. We're stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock. Do the hammerlock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammerlock.
I do the hammerlock. Everybody's doing it. Hi. Hi there, pals. You've stumbled upon a little bit of wrestling art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things, Brian, wrestling art dude, podcast dude, friend of all of my listeners, and all my listeners. It's a not you. You're part of an exclusive club, I hope you know. And I appreciate every one of you, but we're on to a little old match of the week episode of the show. Feels like a little bit of a hot minute since we did our last one of this. Our first one of 2025, so I'm stoked to be doing that. We got a little bit of a backlog formed once again with a matches of the week, those being my favorite matches that I happen to watch each week, that every Friday morning here in Australia I'll post a brand new illustration of said match because I loved it so much, and then we talk about it on the show. So we've got a few to catch up on. Today I'm talking about the next two since our last chat, with Richard Beardsley of Video Plant, friend of the show, a dear pal of mine, who I think has just an excellently, wonderfully open mind when it comes to wrestling appreciation and seeing the art of it and just having fun with it. One of these matches, we've got two matches here. We've got Mystico versus Hechicero from late last year in CMLL, and then we have a crazy BJW match between the Crazy Lovers and the Astronauts, which you couldn't get two more different matches, but that's what makes things work. That's the spice of life here, I say. So very excited to talk to Richard about those. And yeah, the CMLL one, Richard actually originally gave it a bit of a shout-out to me and was like, hey, have you seen this? So I thought, very appropriate to have him on. But we'll have Richard on a little bit later. For now, this is I guess, the What's Going On in the World of Chris Things segment of the show. A little opening monologue, if you will. You might hear in the background today, when it comes to the audio, some weird noises. So this is my first ever Match of the Week podcast from the new home here in the Sunshine Coast, Hinterland area, up in Montville, Queensland, in the sticks, in the hills. So lots of nature around and lots of weird bugs making weird noises. So I'm doing it out on our front balcony here in front of our dam. There's some weird noises here. I think in the future I'll be doing the recording in my studio once I have internet up there. So rest assured, these weird bug background noises will not necessarily be here forever. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they add a little bit of atmosphere to today's show, or at least aren't too annoying. We'll see how we go. But yeah, dude, it's been officially like a week since I've been here in the new surrounds. I spoke last week about all these big changes in life, about the moving into the new place, just what a upheaval of life it's been. But I'm finally getting back to it. I'm finally been back to the regularity of, like, you know, doing these podcast episodes, of you know, doing one of Match of the Weeks up here. I never stopped on those, and I can't. They won't stop, don't stop for the Match of the Week. But yeah, sending out orders, all the things, taking commission jobs, doing meetings with clients, all that. So it's starting to feel kind of like a bit more real, if you will, in terms of doing the art from up here. I've got a whole ass art show to prepare for, as I was saying last week. It's an amazing Scratch Weekend of Tartness solo show that I'm going to be doing on the hallowed walls of the Scratch for February. I've got a lot of work to create. I've got a signature t-shirt that I have to create. All the things, but I'm stoked about it. Very excited about getting into that sort of like full-on creative submersion process, I guess. And also, like, I've got a shed that is, you know, it's in the process of being made into my art shed. It had like some pretty severe moisture issues in it when I first came in. It had all sorts of leaks and things. So I didn't want to have my, you know, valuable artworks and electronics and things up there till I solve those. So I've been digging ditches trying to stop this rain from getting into my shed. That's the latest exciting update that you have. Chris things digging ditches. But hopefully that's going to fix things. We'll see how we go. And then, yeah, I just have to run electricity and internet up to there. Since I finish this show, I'm going to head with it to the hardware shop. I'm going to return an extension cord that I got that was the wrong one, hopefully get the right one, and then, yeah, I'll be able to do all the things from this new studio. And between you and me, I'm actually super excited about setting that up, about having an environment that's, you know, an entire building that is just about my art, about everything being in its place. I was sweeping it up yesterday, and I was even taking a weird pride in sweeping it, in cleaning it, in making it into an environment for me to make art in. So I'm pretty stoked on that. I think there's probably an interesting conversation to be had about the environment within which you make art and how that environment impacts the art that you make. You know, a lot of people, it's not like everyone's, you know, lucky enough to have a studio. A lot of people, they're making art in their bedroom, in their house, wherever they can, you know, find a space to make this work. And you do what you do, and that's what it is. Or you go to a park, or go to a cafe. I've made some of my most fun illustrations just sitting in cafes, you know, sipping coffee with a couple loud, obnoxious dogs that are barking all over the place. Those being my dogs, by the way. I would never insult someone else's loud barking dog. But yeah, dude, so I'm excited to see, I've said this to a few different people, how this change of scenery affects my art. I'm hoping in a good way. But yeah, I'm taking a lot of pride in setting up that environment, and setting up that space for the creation of said work. And then I'm just gonna jump in with both feet, and I need to make a lot of art real fast. And I'm pretty stoked on it. So, yeah, I think that's pretty well the gist of it. If you'd like to you know, stay in touch, to talk to me, to message about how the things are going, please feel free to swing me a message on the old Instagram, @ChrisThings. I always love to see those. I always do my best to get back to people as quick as I can. My apologies when there is a bit of a delay, when I do get quite busy with things. I do have the old attention deficit disorder, so I really struggle to sort of change lanes when I'm really focusing in on one thing. So I think that's probably responsible to a large degree of, like, my brain can only process so much at once. So sometimes I can be like, oh man, I need to get back to this message or whatever. So please never take that personally. But I will get back to you. But yeah, also christhings.com.au is the place where you can go and you can buy the things. You can just peruse, just have a little old look at the gallery. Oh, we had a kookaburra there. All right, that's it. Let's jump on as a match of the week action. All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our first match of the week that we've had in a little while. I'm very excited to get into it for the new year for 2025 with none other than a very, very special friend of the show, Richard Beardsley of Video Plant, who we've chatted to before about the great Video Plant concept. But I'm stoked to talk some Match of the Week action with you, good sir.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Dude, I am I'm very excited to have you on. I think it's quite appropriate that we have you on for this one, because it was you that brought to my attention, that asked me, hey, did you see that amazing Mystico versus Hechicero match, the big finale of the Torneo de Plata, the Blue Demon tournament?
Yeah, man, I'm so excited to talk about this match, and is there, we're going to talk about another one as well? Is that?
Yeah, we've got a big doubleheader planned here, two absolutely bizarrely contrasting matches going together here between just a lucha classic, just big time epic lucha classic, as we said, between Mystico and Rey Hechicero. And then we jump into Big Japan Pro Wrestling with a death match versus shoot style hybrid kind of match between the astronauts and the crazy lovers. I don't know if we've had quite this much contrast before, but I'm here for it.
I love this double feature, because you've got this colorful and athletic CMLL versus this dark and violent BJW thing. So I'm stoked to talk about these.
Oh my gosh, me too. So yeah, very excited to talk to you about it as well. Like, I think, like, we've talked a bit about wrestling and the matches of the week. You often ask me, like, you know, what I'm thinking of different stuff, which I really dig. And I think that sort of, like, appreciation of wrestling and being open to appreciation of something that's, you know, maybe a bit different, or on the fringes of the wrestling world. You've always struck me as someone who's just wonderfully open with your wrestling tastes.
Thank you. Yeah. I love it all. If the weirder it can get and the more I can get introduced to something, you know, that's not in the routine of what I'm normally watching, I get excited about. So, you know, like, for this astronauts and crazy lovers, that was my first BJW match, to be honest. And yeah, and I went on I watched it a couple times, and then, because it's a shorter match, and then I found myself just kind of going down a rabbit hole on their YouTube channel. It was a lot of fun. So
do a great job of releasing some different matches from the archives or whatnot of matches that have been well received onto their free YouTube channel. They've also got BJ Core, which is sort of their paid streaming service, which I hear very good things about. But yeah, I've been a fan of BJW for a bit of a while now. I first really got into it back in the day. That used to be a streaming mirror of Samurai TV, which is where a lot of these, like, you know, Japanese indies air, basically like a Japanese wrestling channel. which was really cool. And I would just like turn it on at random times, and it was great because you had no idea what you were going to get. You know, you might be getting some Joshi or some All Japan, or BJW was the first thing that happened to be on there. And so previously I'd only known BJW as kind of the deathmatch company, you know, kind of like Freedoms or any of that kind of stuff. And that's really their bread and butter. But then they've got this whole other thing called the Strong Division, which is more sort of just like great, sort of big man kind of wrestling, you know, basically the main dudes like your Daisuke Sekimoto's or Yuki Okabayashi, or, you know, they're getting more into more technical kind of stuff like the astronauts. So it's got it's a great blending of interesting styles in the company, which I think a lot of people might not necessarily be aware of. So that's one of the things that really I got to like about BJW. And then it's been a lot of fanfare about the astronauts lately. So I was so stoked to finally watch this.
Oh, dude, I've watched I'll have to send it to you. I found a really cool astronauts, match, when I was going down that rabbit hole, and I was really kind of charmed by them. So yeah, I'm excited to dive into that one.
All right. So before we get too far in, I did just want to do a little bit of housekeeping here. The audio today you might hear. So this is my first interview that I've been doing on the new property. Which I told you about. We moved house. We got this place on the Sunshine Coast hinterland in nature. I got these delightful cicadas in the background. I just mentioned it last time we were talking. Thought I'd probably broach it for our listeners today. So at the moment I'm out here on the deck. I don't quite have my studio set up to have the internet in there. So in the meantime, cicadas in the background aren't too annoying for folks, but we'll see how we go. And the other side of it, I'm not quite sure how my connection is necessarily going to go out here. So if you could just let me know at any point if my audio gets real scratchy and awful, I'll make sure to fix it.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, I can hear the critters, but I'm just like along for the ride. It's going to be part of the. And they're along for the ride too.
Exactly. So we're just part of the ambiance.
Yeah. Love it.
These two matches. Normally when I do these kind of double features, I like to do a little bit of, before jumping into each one individually, like have a sort of look at them conceptually as a whole. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, I think there's a lot of interesting contrast here, one versus the other. Just two polar opposite things, completely different sides of the world, completely different environments, you know, one being in this tiny cult Japanese wrestling hub that is Shinkiba First Ring, the other one being in one of the most epic big-time homes of professional wrestling in the entire world, in Arena Mexico, La Catedral de la Lucha Libre. So you couldn't get more opposite of that. Two different but very lively crowds that were both really there for both matches, which I really dug. And then the other thing for me that I think maybe brings them together is that both of these matches are super creative and super interesting. I think I mentioned in my write-up for the Mystico versus Hechicero match, I've watched a lot of Mystico matches in my days watching CMLL, and there is a bit of a formula that he's kind of known for. You know, he has his greatest hits, all that, and it's a great match, the Mystico match. I'm not here, you know, crapping on it, but it is a signature kind of match, you know. And I thought this was so wonderful because Hechicero really turned it on its head and brought something else out of Mystico. So I thought that was quite creative. And you know, to Mystico's credit, he busted out a lot more interesting, different kind of stuff than we regularly see from him too. So quite creative and interesting there. And then obviously the Astronauts versus Crazy Lovers match. I thought was just one of the most creative and fresh matches that I've seen in a long time. In just like some sort of like the non-cooperation kind of spots and just the heat and the just there was sort of like an electricity in the air for the match, and I thought both matches as well had a wonderful level of emotion attached to them too.
Yeah, the emotion came through on both of them. I mean, one of the things I love about Lucha is the theatrics of it, you know, and with the other match, it felt kind of like a nightmare a little bit. I lost you for a second there. It's like darkly lit and there's in the background, you can't really see the audience. And then when they start brawling on the outside, it kind of comes to life and you can see those like big, large numbers on the seats. And you can see, you get a sense, at least for me as a first time, seeing that match in a venue like that how intimate it was, and it really kind of added like this kind of garnish at the end of the match, added a little flavor that made it more enjoyable. The whole thing was enjoyable, but it just added a little bit more flavor at the end there that I liked. So it was really exciting to see it go, the brawl on the outside, to see the audience a bit, and then they go back in for the light tubes. It's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, it's good because it's sort of like I said for the write up for this one. I think it's a good, even if people who like deathmatch isn't like style of wrestling isn't necessarily their cup of tea, this is still one that I'd really recommend because it's sort of like you get a little bit of that, but that's not the bulk of it. And it sort of adds like just an extra kind of level of interesting flavor to it. And we'll talk more about it later when we get more on that match. But I really love that it's actually the astronauts that introduce the weapons. Here, you deathmatch wrestlers who can't really wrestle. Here, use your toys kind of thing. And then they end up, clearly paying for it.
Yeah, they're totally, it seemed like they're goading them throughout the match, especially at the end there. You know, for me, I went into it knowing nothing, which is always a really exciting because I didn't have any preconceived notions or really who the wrestlers were. So, it was exciting just to go in and be along for the ride. But even then, like through the creativity, you could kind of see how, they were, like you said, they were goading them on and then they paid for it. And it was fun to see that come to life. I mean, I'll wait till we get to the match to really dive into it. But it was fun to kind of see that evolve without really knowing initially what was going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this is a tremendous match for if you're not too familiar. I'm familiar with Takeda, but I wasn't too familiar with his partner in that one. So even for me, it was sort of like quite interesting and fresh to see. I'd seen a bit of the astronauts too. I'm a big fan of both of them and especially like both of their singles work. So I kind of knew a bit, but it was still even for me like I didn't quite know what to expect here, which I think is really something cool. Almost like what I love about, I don't go to many music festivals anymore these days, but when I used to, my favorite thing was like when you'd see a band that you had never heard of before. And rather than the ones that you necessarily, you might be really looking forward to, but it's always those surprises, that really to me are the best part about those kind of things.
I get that. Yeah, Takeda guy has a really cool look too. And at the end, they do those, the interviews, the promos at the end in the backstage, and you get to see all those like, battle scars on his chest come to life. And it was like, I didn't understand what they were saying, but it didn't matter because I just was mesmerized just watching both, actually all four of them talk at some point. But yeah, you just see the scars and I just was totally drawn in by his, I guess, his aura.
Oh yeah. This is such an interesting looking human, similar a bit of a way to the crazy monkey Jun Kasai. He's one of those dudes that actually looks more like a alien than a human at this point, with all the death match scars and everything. But yeah, just so fascinating. All right.
Oh yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump on in. Let's get our first cab off the rank here. We have the match that was the big grand final of the Torneo La Leyenda Azul 2024, the Blue Demon Tribute Tournament. The prior week they had a tremendous Cibernético elimination kind of match to kind of like set up the final two. Came down to Místico and Hechicero, which is a really cool match. I'd recommend that one to everyone as well. In terms of like a massive long form multi-man match and sort of taking the entire field down in one match down to like the final two guys and really getting you heated up to be like, man, I'm so excited to see Místico and Hechicero. But so this one took place on the 29th of November 2024, again at Arena Mexico, the big Friday night show of the week between Místico and a guy that I would say, looking back at 2024, he's got to be my wrestler of the year, Rey Hechicero.
Yeah, he's on my list as well. When I look back, like my friend and I do our top 10 favorite matches of the year, and he had so many contenders on that list for matches that stood out, and I just love him. I love everything about him. I love that he's a wizard. And in this match in particular, you know, I saw this live. I watched it live on Friday. I usually put CMLL on Friday nights.
That's so good. I used to do that all the time, by the way, when they used to air it on, it was before it was on YouTube. They had it on some sort of like, Mexican sports website where you could watch it for free.
Oh, cool.
Live every Friday, so I used to watch that for a few years there, pre-COVID, as much as I could. These days it's been a while since I've been able to watch it live, but there's something so magical about watching it in that way.
Oh yeah, I mean, and also just, I mean, it's fun just to have on. It's a great way to end the week. One of the things I love about CMLL is the presentation, like the colors.
Oh yeah.
Are just awesome. They look so good on the TV, you know, like the production, like the sound. I'd say it's probably my favorite wrestling to tune into weekly now.
I can so agree with that, because I think what I love about it too is,
yeah,
so they have upgraded their production. Like from when I started watching CMLL, almost was like you're watching wrestling underwater in terms of the audio.
Oh my god.
Like you could barely hear any of the actual like audio from the building. The a lot of the time it was like either real poor quality or real dark, or there was always like something that wasn't quite right, but it was almost became part of the charm of watching Lucha, that it was just this terrible production values, but you're just like, it feels like you're watching wrestling from like decades ago kind of thing. And then CMLL's recently really upgraded their production values to where now it looks absolutely beautiful. But it's still kind of like stripped back in its presentation. You know,
yeah,
we're so used to these days with like TV, American TV wrestling, at least, you know, it's so like really regimented in terms of how they've laid the show out, and like this pre-tape and that like backstage interview and then this thing, whatever. This is just like match, match, match. All right, we're done. Good night. And I love the simplicity.
Simplicity is a great way to say it. And even like the advertising that, like, you know, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I lost you for a second. My bad. Yeah, like the ads that pop up on the big screens behind them, it's like part of the presentation.
Oh, it's
it
so
works,
over the top.
You know?
I love it.
You know, yeah. Where it's like, you know, compared to like, I before I had watched some AAA, and you know, the production value isn't as good on that, I would say. Especially like the commentary, like the audio aspects of it. So,
I can't stand, I don't know if they still do it, but last time I was watching AAA, they had the live commentary.
Yes.
Where they would have the commentary like to the crowd.
Yes.
So it ruins the match and the crowd reactions. It's awful.
Yeah. There was like that year there was Vikingo versus, he had one against Phoenix, and then also there's also another match against what's his name? He after the match he had to go to the hospital. He got like really messed up.
I know like Vikingo has had a whole bunch of injuries lately.
Yeah. But there's two amazing matches. They were awesome, but the commentary just like totally took me out of it. They're still great matches, but it's just it was a big distraction. But anyhow, you know, I love the like I think you said it right with the you said a good way of describing like the American productions are they're kind of homogenized and like formulaic, and even though the production value is like polished, it's lacking I don't know, it's lacking something. But
I mean, this almost takes me back to, and I think like Dave Meltzer said it before, it's like this is probably one of the last remaining relics of the feel of watching territorial wrestling. You know, it's like that same kind of feel as like you watch, like we talk a bit about Portland wrestling, right? And a great history of like Don Owens and everything. And like when you watch those, like there's a great amount of those Portland wrestling TV shows from that wonderful bowling alley that they had converted as as a wrestling arena. And the treatment of that was a lot more bare bones. Like, you know, like we were saying here, kind of like the announcers would welcome you to the show and then we'd go to it match after match after match. We might have some guys that come up and do a bit of promos from the crow's nest. But other than that, it's just like, you know, wrestling mixed with a bit of advertising and that's it. And this is kind of what this is too.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. There's a bit of a chaos. Well, I don't know if it's chaos, but like the crowd is so hot too. Like the crowd's really into it. Which I think plays into it. The experience for me, kind of like, my friend's a really big AEW fan, and I've had, you know, I've shared kind of some frustrations there. I still watch it and still enjoy aspects of it. But one of the things that's different now is like the crowd isn't as loud or is into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I really enjoy about CMLL is, you know, hearing how into it they are. And the reactions, and
there's something so wonderful about those reactions too, because a good portion of that Arena Mexico crowd is so that it's a really wonderful mix, because you got some your hardcores that have likely been in their same seats, you know, in those front rows for like the last 20 years,
right?
So super hardcores that know everybody, and then you have just complete tourists
who
know like nothing about wrestling. No preconceived notions.
It's amazing.
And they're just reacting to what they're seeing in the most beautiful, authentic kind of way that I absolutely adore. And it's that like mix that I think is part of the magic of Arena Mexico.
Oh, I would love to go there and see a match. And I have a friend, Jorge, who I was telling him about, I have a desire to do this. And his family lives in Mexico City, and he was saying that. He's like, oh, God, we should take a trip sometime and go see it. And I might have to do that, because seems like a bucket list thing to catch a match live there, you know?
Oh, it is for me too, man. It's so long I've dreamed of this. Hopefully I'm finally going to make it happen when I go over there for my brother's wedding in April.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, definitely going to have to make that happen. I mean, I'd love to go to as many of their arenas as possible. Like Arena Coliseo is just such a unique, interesting building too. Even like Arena Puebla. But, yeah, I'll see how I go. But, man, Arena Mexico is where it's at.
That's amazing. You'll have to share with us how that experience is once you go.
Oh, absolutely. And you too. Whenever you make that happen, I want to just know all of your takes on everything, all even on the littlest stuff, man. So excited.
Nice. We'll do.
So with this one, I think the entrances were just absolutely epic too. There's something I love about yes. that big, beautiful like entrance set with the steep stairs coming down and the whole presentation of it. You know, Hechicero, I love his, like you said about the wizard thing, and he's got those like flaming balls kind of thing that he's doing his magic with.
I love his music too, by the way. Like it just, when it comes on, I'm like, hell yes, let's go. And as he's like walking down, isn't
it? It's almost like this kind of like tech kind of like vibe, but it works. I love it.
It's like silly, metal kind of like, yeah, with some electronic stuff. It works for me. It works. I don't know. I'm a fan. And he's like walking down and those dancers are like dancing to to his music. I love it.
Oh, so good. And then there's nothing more grandiose than a mystical entrance.
Right. A tonal change too, right? Which is exciting. You're like, you know, he's like, there's like that chanting music. I loved it.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
That's one of the things when I watched this live, I had it on and I was like, oh God, I'm going to, you know, really focus on this one and watch it. And I don't know if we should just jump right into it, but like,
yeah, of course.
I kept waiting for the first fall. I had done any research. I just was watching it. And I actually didn't know much about the tournament either, if I'm being honest, you know. Mm-hmm. We can get into the theatrics of the ending, of course, but yeah, so like I kept waiting for the first fall, and then I, before realizing it wasn't like a best 2 out of 3, so I think that really, like, I was just really glued to it as a result of that. Not that I wouldn't be before, but and then that also just made me really pay attention to the fact that I was watching a different Mystico than I had ever seen before. You know what I mean? It was more of a like, this is like a mat work, you know, body manipulation exchange fest, rather than like the stuff that I had normally seen him do. So that was just, I was fully like kind of mesmerized early on in the match. And for me, like the half hour just flew by. What was it like for you?
Yeah, exactly the same. It just blew by. Even on, like, I did a rewatch of it this morning before, so it'd be front of mind because it was a little while since I watched it last. It's one of those ones that got better on rewatch. Like I got even more enjoyment out of it on watching it the second time, and there's different things that you notice a little bit more, which is really cool. I think my only complaint is that it isn't 2 out of 3 falls, and that's something that you really have to listen out at the start of the match when they're doing the ring introductions, to know, because it can upset, like, if you're expecting, like, man, this has been gone a long time, we haven't even got to the first fall.
Yeah, because, like, and there are those times throughout it, there are some, like, I'm not hating on it by any means, but awkward bits, you know, where maybe that fall would have reset it, and it would have, like, sounded screwed a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think for me, like, when watching Lucha there's something that's so synonymous with Lucha and the two out of three falls. Like, it's part of the rhythm. It's part of, like, the flow of it. It's part of, like, what makes those matches feel so epic and the way that you can... I love when you watch a really good two out of three falls match where, you know, they can kind of, like, set up some stuff for later on by, you know, they're playing the long game, so they might tap out to this thing early on, or, you know, they get pinned by this move early on, that then when it gets down to that third fall and all the marbles are on the table, you know, they you know, have that little bit extra in the tank that allows them to get out of it, and it gets that extra crowd reaction because they've seen it, you know, be responsible for one of the early falls in the match. So I absolutely love it. So that's one of the only things that's my complaint about this match, that it was just the single fall rather than the two out of three. So I feel like that might have been a bit better if it was two out of three. But yeah, CMLL's in a weird place now where some matches are two out of three, some matches are single. Mm. Never really happen to know. I think sometimes it's based off of how late the night's running and whether they have time or not with the curfews or whatever.
Yeah, it certainly lends to the drama, I'd say. I was watching, I need to refresh my mind and watch a Mystico match. Because I was like, God, this isn't really, I wanted to make sure I wasn't like, I guess I wasn't trying to box him in, but like when I think of him, I think of like speed and leaps and dives, you know?
Yeah.
And so I watched that match from like, I think it was like a year or two ago against Templario.
Oh, tremendous.
Where that first fall is, it's like boom right away. Like, you know, it's very fast, but it, you know, it sets up for the drama of the rest of the match. But I quickly realized like, okay, yeah, that's what I think was really captivating for me watching this match too live. Was like, he's real. I've never seen him. I guess I was like, I didn't know he could wrestle like this. I was really impressed.
Oh, for sure. It was lucky we saw something else out of him that was super interesting. You know, I think, you know, Hechicero really, I mean, you don't get many people these days better than Hechicero when it comes to like Yave style wrestling. So seeing Mystico lean more into that against Hechicero was so cool. And one of the things that really stood out to me as well watching it on rewatch today was just how back and forth this was, which a lot of the time when you watch these, you know, big Mystico matches, it's all about sort of like the heat and the Rudo beating down on Mystico. You know, if you're talking about some of his most famous opponents like Averno or Ultimo Guerrero, it's just about them doing that classic Rudo heat, just beating down on him getting that sympathy, reaching out to the crowd, almost like clapping, leading the crowd whilst he's getting his ass beat, which is just so wonderfully unique in Mystico. We saw a little bit of that in this even, which I adore. But yeah, whereas this one was a lot more back and forth, which I thought added a different energy to it, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like Hechicero's, you know, his wizardry kind of like lured Mystico into his style a bit, maybe. Mm. You know, there's that point early on where he's like, he kept like, you know, pointing to his head, kind of like, yes. Like he's almost, I've done my homework this time round. We're going to go to the mat a bit. So
yeah, after that, I love that bit early on where they do like a running spot. Mystico does the leapfrog and then Hechicero catches the leg, drags him down.
Yes.
And that was where he pointed to the head. So good.
Yes, exactly. That's spot on. I think that's it. Yeah, I love that. I love that kind of like, you know, that little nod there.
That got a big pop from the crowd too. They got a great reaction.
Yeah, and it went kind of back and forth for a little bit. And then you get a few little like Mystico kind of going off the ropes here and there. And then there's that spot where he did that, like Mystico did like a moonsault off the ropes. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, he like does a moonsault off the ropes and then Hechicero locks him in. Like an armbar thing. And then from there, I just felt like it was a body contortion, like back and forth. And it really started to kind of, they started to seem exhausted, but in that good way, you know, like the drama of the match started to really kind of set in. I was definitely like sucked in at that point.
Oh, same. And one of the things that also really stood out to me on rewatch was So when I remember when I originally watched it and I started to see Mystico breaking out some of this more interesting offense that I'm not, you know, quite accustomed to seeing, like that that octopus stretch that he got him into, or then like the La Tapatia later on, which they, you know, did the sweet counters with. And both of those, I you know, was so overjoyed to see it. I thought it was just so cool. But what rewatching it, I sort of like noticed on all these times when Mystico tried to like dip into Hechicero's wheelhouse, he'd get this thing in, but then Hechicero, you know, this is his game. So he would like be straight there to, you know, immediately like, you know, counter it or get into something else. And we saw that with both the octopus and the La Tapatia, which I thought was super cool before, you know, ultimately we get to the finish and Mystico, you know, finally has that number.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, like, because I was just thrown into it without kind of knowing the full details of what was going on. I was assuming that Hechicero would win. But of course, like I afterwards I was reading up about it and he had won the year, you know, prior to that. But without knowing much, I thought it was his, you know, his match to win for those reasons.
I mean, what a crazy banner year that Hechicero has had.
Oh my God.
You know, some massive wins. The big mask win over Euphoria on the big anniversary show. Just a banner year for Hechicero. And I think, especially if we're talking about those like hardcore fans, he had so much support. And you could hear that in this match. Where there was such a vocal reaction, where there was some real like boos at certain points for Mystico from those like hardcore Hechicero fans, which was very cool. But then Mystico also, of course, has like the loyal fans. It almost like gave me a little bit of flashback to I don't know if you recall seeing like John Cena versus Kurt Angle like back in the day, where it was almost like you had these like hardcore supporters of Kurt. And then you had like Cena with the more, you know, casual and kids and stuff. So it was a very like polarizing, different audiences clashing with one another, which I kind of got a bit of a feel of here.
Yeah, well, you know, Hechicero, like I love the way the match started too. He like, you know, they go in for the handshake and he just kicks his hand, Mystico's hand out of the way. I love that start, but you know. You mentioned that the four-way mask match with Euphoria. The drama at the end of that, when you know Hechicero is just bawling. It was so. It was a great year. I love the Zack Sabre Jr. Actually, I think they just had one.
I haven't seen that yet, but I did. I finally did my homework and I've watched the Rev Pro match as well that they had in England.
Did you prefer that one or the CMLL one?
Oh, definitely the Arena Coliseo CMLL one. Far is my favorite. I thought the atmosphere and the crowd reactions were just so much better for the Coliseo crowd than almost like the UK crowd had their sort of like almost were just trying to get themselves over with their kind of, you know, smarky chants and stuff. Which, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be a party pooper. Enjoy wrestling however you want to enjoy it.
Sure.
But to me, there was something about like that Mexican fan reaction was a bit more cool for me.
I agree. And I love that. Did you like that kind of sneak finish the third fall on that one?
Oh, amazing.
I thought it was awesome.
We were talking about, you know, our favorite matches of the year, and there have been so many great matches in 2024.
Oh, my God.
And like, I look at it and I'm like, man. And this is why, you know, for me, Hechicero is my wrestler of the year. Just like so many of them that Hechicero was in, you know, from that Danielson match in AEW to what I think, like what I was telling you the other day, my most enjoyed match of the year. I think I can't put it past that Hechicero Blue Panther match.
Awesome.
But all of the other stuff we're talking about too, just a crazy year for the dude.
They just had another match as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
I didn't see that one. Yeah,
San Jose show or something.
Yeah, Yeah. I haven't watched that one yet. Yeah, did he even, was it this year that he opened Forbidden, the AEW New Japan Forbidden Door show?
Yeah, he had that match against MJF, right?
I was like, I love that. That's how that started, with him coming out to his like awesome theme song, doing his wizardry. awesome. Anyways, yeah, he rules. I'm such a big fan of him now, and yeah, I really was. I guess I was rooting for him to win.
I think a lot of people were. I was too. Yeah. You know, it just like, I think everyone was thinking, man, he's had such a crazy year. How great would it be to top it off with like him beating Mystico?
There was that spot too where like he blocks the La Mystica, and he like, is that where he puts him in that contort, like octopus thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, there was one where it felt like he blocked the La Mystica and then just kind of like, or maybe it wasn't that, but there was a bit where he just kind of like unceremoniously kind of like dumps him.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was kind of near the end. Yeah. And then of course that's how, you know, and okay, let's talk about the ending. How'd you feel about that finish with the La Mystica and then him, and then Hechicero submitting with that gnarly body contortion.
I thought it was so well done. Cause yeah, he went for the La Mystica earlier. Hechicero like counted it. That whole spot ending in the rolling cradle, I thought was just absolutely incredible. Like the one where Hechicero rolls him all the way around the ring before, like, you know, getting him for the pin.
Oh yes. I loved it. I thought the ending ruled. I watching it live, I was like, yo, you know, so yeah.
It's so good that like the way that it was Mystico got the La Mystica, but that wasn't going to be quite enough to get Hechicero to tap out, and then Mystico had to like amp it up in like a Zack Sabre Jr.-esque, like grabbing the other arm, like crunching it down with his leg, almost like a Rings of Saturn kind of deal. Oh man, I thought that was so cool.
I another thing too is like with submissions, I'm kind of picky with them. I really like this. I like when it seems like the person's truly exhausted and they really are submitting, you know, like, I like when it just looks grueling. Like I want them to get out of it because it looks like it hurts. And I thought that was the case with this one. So yeah, but it was quick. It wasn't, you know, it was just the right amount. So yeah. I wanted to chat with you about the presentation at the end.
Yeah.
Was it the Blue Demon belt and that like plaque?
Yeah, so cool.
First of all, those were awesome.
Also, like, we need to make mention of Mystico's commemorative Blue Demon mask. So like rather than the classic Mystico, he had that sort of like really signature Blue Demon bit with the gold mixed with like his, you know, I just thought it was such a cool look.
Yeah, and I wondered if that's why maybe Hechicero kind of like didn't pull at it too much, because at one point he's, you know, going after the mask and then didn't rip the eye, you know. But anyways, yeah, I thought that was cool. I love that. Also, I just love the look of that that white and gold. It's so clean and slick. I don't know. On that note, your drawing for that match was great, because those colors really came to life, but very much in your palette, you know.
Oh, thank you. I was wanting to, I try to sort of, you know, sometimes change it up and add some like funky colors and stuff like that, but also like if there's something that's such a signature color for a dude, like I feel like you have to embrace that kind of thing. So thank you for noticing, but yeah, that's something I tried to do with this one, with the color palette, was kind of like mix that you know, the color, the signature colors of the guys, but in a Chris things kind of way.
Oh, I loved it. And like the gold like pops differently from the yellow like of the mat, and I thought that was cool. So yeah, man.
That was a fun one to do. That was one where I was actually did the bulk of it in an airport. This is really like in that last late part of my year where I was just traveling interstate for all these different expos. I think I was heading down to Melbourne for this one. And yeah, I did a good amount of it in the airport and then actually on the flight. I think I was doing the coloring for this one. So it was really like one of those situations where I'm like, man, I've got a match of the week that I have to do, rain, hail, or shine. We're going to make this happen.
Well, when you pick a spot, are you searching for one, or are you like, when you're watching, you're like, that right there, that's the moment?
It can be a combination. Like, yeah, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. For this one, I have a feeling that there were a few that when I was watching it, I took kind of like screenshots of when I was watching. I was like, oh, that's a cool visual. That's a cool visual. Then you kind of at the end kind of have a bit where I'm like, have to make that hard choice kind of thing, which can be really difficult for me as someone who struggles from decision paralysis often. but yeah, I thought this one was quite cool. Like, I generally like the thing of if there's a moment when you got like someone in the foreground, someone in the background, and it sort of like conveys a certain something. And it also makes it a bit more of a dynamic kind of visual, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is something kind of cool, or if like that Hechicero reaching towards the camera, reaching towards,
yes,
that, you know, almost having his sort of like wizard magic going on, envision.
His wizardry. I'm actually looking at the photo right now, and it's a great opportunity. The ref's in it. And yes. I have to say, I love that ref.
Oh, Edgar Noriega, El Güero or something. He's such a great ref.
His near falls, like, they're so dramatic. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Every time I see that he's on the match, you know, so it's cool to see him make a cameo there.
Yeah, I always try to incorporate my favorite refs in some way if I can.
Like, gosh, I gotta commission Chris to do a painting of that ref. Cool. Well, yeah, that one thing I want to say with the presentation is, like, again, I'm not a diehard CMLL fan. I'd like to be. I mean, I'm probably on the path of, you know, I'm watching it every Friday, but I didn't know about that. Yeah. Well, I wasn't familiar with the tournament, really. I wasn't following that. And of course, afterwards, I read about it a little bit. But one thing I want to call out is, like, not, and again, this isn't to, like, throw any shade on any other promotions, but one thing I really liked is the presentation of the plaque and the belt made it feel special.
Yes.
And I like that, because it's like, it makes me more curious and interested, and, you know, it makes me want to, like, again, like, read as to why, and then also maybe tune in next year, you know, because I caught this live and because I'm invested as a fan. And it's something
such a great
that I
job
wish
with the pageantry, with that kind of thing. Yes, I mean, you were saying before about, like, that's such a magical part of, like, the big mask versus mask matches too.
Yes,
the big pageantry of the actual unmasking and all the emotion and everything. But yeah, CMLL does an excellent job, I feel, of, like, making these big moments feel special. Like the Grand Prix as well, like they've been doing each year, the big international Grand Prix, tremendous pageantry. And they have quite a few tournaments that they do through the year. So, yeah, I guess they're bread and butter, so they know how to do them well.
Well, I wanted that plaque on my wall, man. I thought that looked awesome. And the belt, like, could have been really kind of silly, but I thought it was awesome too. And it made me just think, like, you know, let these things take their time, like, give these things time to, like, be, like the pageantry, let it mean something, let it sit for a minute. So I really dug that.
Oh, same. And I have done like a sort of introduction to Spanish course. You know, I should probably practice a bit more in the lead up to, you know, going over for this wedding. But I did not understand much anything of what is said, other than catching a few words here or there, or sort of sometimes kind of knowing what they're talking about, but not really knowing what they're saying kind of deal. But you watch this, complete different language, and it still has a wonderful emotive impact, even though you don't even know what they're saying.
Absolutely. You know what's funny is my father-in-law, he only speaks Spanish. He speaks English. That's his native language. But in his 50s or something, he decided to learn Spanish. And it's become like, it's like his hobby. It's his passion. I do too. And because like once I started getting into Lucha, I've had these kind of deep regrets. Like, oh my God, like I live in the Pacific Northwest. I had free access. Like I grew up taking Spanish in grade school. And then in junior high and high school as an elective. And I so badly wish I had taken it more seriously and just fully bought into it. Cause I would love to like watch Lucha and know, you know, just to be able to like fully be immersed in it even more so. But, when I was watching this again the other day, I thought, oh man, this could be like a fun thing to do with my father-in-law, watch some Lucha. Cause I think he would be really caught up in the culture of it. And he's like a really, you know, he asks lots of questions. He's kind of like an information junkie. So yeah, I actually texted my wife earlier. I was like, I think I have Neil over and we're going to watch some Lucha. And so, I'll let you know how that goes. I need to find the right match.
That sounds so absolutely heartwarming.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'll definitely follow up with you and let you know how that goes. But yeah, I think that's cool. Like my wife was saying though, she's like, it's never too late to learn. So, you know, he learned in his 50s. So, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I think we both still have time, hopefully. I have the same thing where I have a few different friends, or like my best mate, David, his partner, she's Spanish, so we would be, you know, he's living in they're living in the UK together now, and a lot of the time we'll watch CMLL sort of like over like a audio video call,
awesome.
So we could sort of like watch it together and react to it together and that kind of thing, which is kind of fun. And then sometimes Sandra will be in the background and she'll like sort of like chirp in for sort of like to let us know what the commentators have said, or if there's like a promo, like what they've said. And it really adds something so, so much to it. I love it.
I love it. Well, I sent you, I don't know if you saw, but I sent you a handful of videos, and one of them is, it is on this topic.
Classics and the holy grail of tape collectors of Lucha goodness. Translate with subtitles. I cannot wait to get into this.
I was so kind of mesmerized by that match that I actually had somebody translate it for me. So I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I cannot wait. I have already downloaded one of the videos and watched the start of it, which was just delightfully odd and amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, I can't wait to get into that one. MS1 versus Sangre Chicana for everyone out there. That should be prerequisite viewing for everyone, and some of the greatest punches and just raw, gritty violence that you ever will see in a professional wrestling match.
Absolutely amazing.
But we're not here to talk about Sangre Chicana versus MS1, but we should one day. We definitely should one day.
Oh, golly.
We'll
sure.
Put a pin in that. That's got to turn up as a match of the week at some point whenever I next rewatch it. But we're now on to... I mean, did you have anything else for this one before we move to Japan here?
No, let's shift over to this. To Japan. I'm excited for this one as well.
All right. Fantastic. So we now transport to the other side of the world. We fly from Mexico to Tokyo to, again, a gritty underground cult indie wrestling hub that is Shinkiba First Ring in Tokyo. It's sort of like a semi-outdoor warehouse, from what I've heard, that's just become like this cult venue. I mean, obviously, like, Korakuen Hall is like a super cult, like, famous wrestling venue in Tokyo, but just picture a bit more of an intimate version of that in a weird warehouse, and that's how we get here. This is, again, yeah, BJW. We've got the Astronauts of Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura against the Crazy Lovers, the deathmatch duo of Masashi Takeda and Takumi Tsukamoto. And this is actually part of their tag league, the annual Saikyu tag league that they do each year. This one took place on February 8th, 2023. This was the semi-final of the tag league. I need to do some homework and watch the final, you know, after seeing how great this one was. But man, what an interesting match. I'd heard great things about the Astronauts and the Crazy Lovers, actually. And this had been on my computer for ages. Like, I downloaded it when BJW added it to their free YouTube, you know, match release thing. And I was like, all right, I'll watch that on a flight or something at some point. I almost forgot that I had it on there. And I was going through my computer on my trip up to this property from Brisbane on the train ride. Christmas Eve, actually. And I was like, now is the time. I'm finally going to watch this weird match on the train. And it blew me away. It was like such a fun, interesting match. Just, it's such a breath of fresh air. So different to everything else I'd watched recently. I think that was a big part of the appeal of it for me. But yeah, please tell me your immediate thoughts.
Well, again, I went in knowing nothing. I knew there was like a shoot versus death match. I think I read that on your post, or maybe I'm making.
No, definitely. Okay. Added that in there. Yep.
So yeah, I mean, again, quite the contrast double feature wise. We went from the colors to this kind of darkly lit nightmare, which and I say that. With full joy. I love the nightmare vibes. But one thing, yeah, like right away, it was kind of tense, I'll say. Like, and the crowd was kind of quiet. And so there was some no selling at the beginning, and then those slaps started, you know, coming full force. And it was kind of like from there on just like buckling up, because it wasn't a long match. And then when it ended, I was like, what? And then, you know, they come back and, you know, we can dive into the details of that.
And they kind of restarted the match, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they restarted it. But I loved it, dude. I watched it. I watched it back to back and then let it set. And then I watched it a third time because it had that appeal for me. And I'll wait to kind of dive into the third part. I mean, the second half of the match. But yeah, I loved it. I love hard hitting matches. So the slaps were a lot of fun to start off with.
Yeah, it's almost like the crowd was like intentionally like quiet, because they were. And this is one of the things you get with the, you know, Japanese audience, like that level of like, they're not quiet because they're bored or disinterested. It's the complete opposite. They're quiet because, especially at that start part of the match, they're just like almost like waiting with bated breath kind of thing. It's like an intense level of focus, which I really like. But then a really cool thing is like the escalation of that from there to, you know, just like them being so vocal and so into it. But by the end, that's, you know, just the mark of a real classic match in Japan for me.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's like paying very close attention and being kind of caught up in the drama of what's happening.
Yeah, and it was just such an interesting dynamic here. Again, like we're saying, sort of the shoot-style duo of the Astronauts versus the deathmatch junkies. it's just, I think in American wrestling, when we're talking about deathmatch, a lot of the time there's almost like a perception that like, the guys who aren't good enough wrestlers to do, you know, like traditional indie kind of like stuff or the more spectacular stuff or whatever, they do deathmatch. you know, to get by kind of thing. And I don't think that's necessarily true a lot of the time. But, you know, especially when you watch this stuff and you see a guy like Takeda, who, in addition to being just a deathmatch legend at this point, and, you know, looking the way he does, like you were saying, he also has, like, an amazing shoot-style background, and it's just a tremendous actual, you know, in-ring professional wrestler. Like, I remember I went to one of the Bloodsport shows that they had in Jersey City on WrestleMania weekend, however many years ago it was up there, and I got to see, I think it was Decatur against Jonathan Gresham. And, you know, just full-on Bloodsport shoot style classic. It was a short match, but just so intense and so wonderful. And I was like, man, I think a lot of people might not necessarily know that Takeda like can go in that shoot style manner just as good as he can for the deathmatch.
Yeah, well, that first, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes or so, however long it's lasting, you know, when like they're going back and forth, or, you know, there's like some knees of the head. The slapping was awesome, but when they go back in, like they're like fighting, they're brawling the outside, they get counted out. First of all, I love that too, because again, that's when you could see the environment and the music's like blasting. And it was like, wow, it'd be awesome to be there.
Oh,
you get a sense of how small that space is and how tense it would be. But one of the things that I loved about this match is the death match violence was motivated, you know, like it was like that, you know, they start up and then it was like, it's that Takeda dude who bashes that light tube on his own head, you know, I was like, oh shit. You know, and then he like flies toward, the other dude. And, it felt kind of motivated because they were like goading these guys, you know, like they bring him in. And they're like, okay. And, but like, I love that rather than like him, like, you know, blasting that light tube on the other dude, he does it on himself. And then there's like that light tube, like, is evaporating above his, you know, in the darkness.
Oh, what a cool
visual. Was so awesome. Like,
that was a tricky part about this. Again, so many cool visuals to try to pick from for the moment of the match. But yeah, that, with the, you always have the cloud of the light tube mercury in the, like, in the light above, and then this dark sort of environment, it kind of slowly disappears. But oh, something so cool about it.
And the blood in this was awesome, because it was like, you know, typically it's pouring down from the head and whatnot, but these are like, you know, they're like chests have been gouged. There's that spot, there's that, you know, he's like, the dude's holding all those tubes. And then Takeda kicks him in the chest. But like,
oh, yeah. When Nomura is like holding them, like, all right, here you go. And then it just, and then it just pierces almost like these two points in his chest, so that the rest of the match, he kind of just has these like two lines of blood just coming from the specific points in his chest.
Yeah. Sometimes I like that more when like the blood is, it's not as, it's, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that he's really been gouged. And it's just kind of like peering through, you know, like, not like, kind of almost like a less is more. It kind of is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love, you know, a lot of blood, but it really worked well for how short. There's like a burst of death match at the end, I should say, and that burst was just enough, and it made me wanting more. And then it ends, you know, kind of abruptly, but in a good way. So yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, I really loved as well that, yeah, as we were saying, that sort of like element of, you would think, you know, if anything, like, it's the deathmatch guys that are going to be this kind of like these vicious monsters against the, you know, the young pretty boy technical kind of dudes, but complete opposite dynamic. It's these like cocky astronauts that are like, we are way better wrestlers than you. You are just deathmatch schmucks. and that dynamic just like carried it in such an interesting and cool way. And like, yeah, you say it, I think just the fact of that moment where they throw on their light tubes, here's your toys kind of thing, and then rather than, you know, Takeda being like, all right, and then just going to swing for him. He's like, no, screw you. Like, busted over his own head. So yeah. Good.
Oh, I loved it. And I also got to say, I'm new to these wrestlers, so forgive me, but is it Abe from the astronaut?
Yeah, Minoru Abe.
Yeah, that guy, I like him. I liked his, what he's got going on. I was a fan. And the match I watched later on with the astronauts, he takes this nasty pile driver. I like him. I don't know. He was a lot of fun to watch in this match as well. So, I mean, all four were great, but.
I love Abe particularly because he's very reminiscent of one of my other favorites, one of my main battle arts favorites, Minoru Sawa, who was just such an amazing wrestler. And I feel like Abe carries a lot of Sawa's spirit, even down to his sweet, like, baseball pitch punch kind of thing. Oh. That was always a signature of Sours, but yeah, I think he does a great job of blending sort of like the personality and that sort of like level of excitement with like just great, like really crisp wrestling. Just a really cool dude to watch. I'm so stoked that both him and Nomura now seem to be doing some cool stuff on the American indie scene from time to time, like Deathlock Pro and stuff.
Shit, well, that's cool. I'm definitely I'm glued in now. I subscribed on YouTube, so I'm excited to follow this stuff more, and thanks for introducing me to it.
Dude, no problem. Please, yeah, if you have any other matches that you come across, please shoot them my way, because there's so much wrestling to watch these days, dude. I feel like I'm always like, there's so much stuff I want to have time to watch, whether it's like more Big Japan. Like I hear that like there's been some super interesting stuff happening in All Japan from late last year onwards. There's Davey Boy Smith Jr. winning the Triple Crown, which I really wanted to see. So much stuff going on in wrestling where I just don't have time to watch everything. So anytime you come across anything where you're like, I think you'd like this, please shoot it my way.
I will. I mean, you got it.
Later in the year they have a rematch of this match I was reading on Cage Match. I don't know if that's on their YouTube tier or it might be more in their paid service, but that's definitely one that I also have to watch.
I just wrote down rematch to watch that. Yeah, I'll definitely send you that. All I know on the match that I watch is the date. I can't remember what it was, but I'll send it to you afterwards and I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And then I realized from earlier, the AAA match I was talking about with Vikingo was with Laredo Kid.
Oh, right.
And there's a spot where he like bashes a bottle over Laredo Kid's head. Anyways, awesome match. But I couldn't remember earlier, but it just popped in my head. But I'm excited to watch more of that. And you watch some Joshi stuff too, right?
Yeah. I've really been taken by Marigold of late. Been watching a good bit of that. That's another one where it's like there's still so much that I need to see. I heard there was an absolutely tremendous match between who I think is probably the greatest Joshi wrestler or women's wrestler full stop going today in Sarray, who I've been a big fan of for a long time. She had a tremendous match with Ulf Herman's daughter, Bozilla. Just amazingly violent. I think it might have been the final to their big tournament, their sort of like equivalent of the G1. But that's definitely on my watch list because I've been a big fan of what both of those ladies have done in Marigold up to earlier at that point in the year.
Yeah, let me know what you think of that Bozilla match with her. She bleeds quite a bit in that. But and Bozilla's kind of a newer wrestler, right?
Yeah, she hasn't been wrestling for very long at all. And I think that's part of her appeal for me. She's like so raw and almost like doesn't even like know the bounds of her power kind of thing. It's almost like I feel like she'll be less excited to watch when she becomes like quote unquote a better wrestler or more of a polished wrestler down the road. But I just dig watching her so much at the moment.
It's kind of, she kind of reminds me of, is it Oleg Bolin?
Oh yeah. From New Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of, did you see, he had a match with Takeshita in the G1.
Yeah, that was pretty, I really like
pretty
that.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. But he kind of similar, like newer, I think, and like a little rougher. But yeah, sometimes that those like that sloppiness can kind of have an appeal to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, talk about almost like it reminds me a bit of like classic early era Road Warriors. You know, I far prefer watching that old like Crockett stuff. Or any of them in, you know, like AWA or some of that like late 80s Japan stuff where they were still like real rough and rugged rather than, you know, you watch more their 90s stuff or like the WWF stuff and they're clearly got more refined as wrestlers, but they just don't have that same kind of like, you know, wild magic about them in a way.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Yeah, well, I have like a list of those Sari matches from the last 2 years that I'm just, she's probably my favorite wrestler right now. I love, she's incredible, man. Yeah. So I'll have to like send that list your way and let me know what you've seen of those. Cause I'd love to nerd out with you about her matches.
She was one of my big favorites that before she went to WWE. So she went and had like, you know, a pretty lackluster run in NXT. But before that, she had some tremendous stuff in, Sendai Girls, like Mako Satomura's promotion, some incredible matches like between them and, you know, some of the other sort of tremendous Sendai Girls wrestlers like Dash Chisako or big Hashimoto. Another one of my absolute favorites. So I was so excited to see her finally like come back to Japan after that WWE run. And then she's just been like strength to strength. Like we've spoken about some of those, like, those produce shows that she put on in the early part of her return were absolutely tremendous. That first one that I absolutely adored, that was that match of the week of mine with Big Hash. I absolutely loved. And then, her work then going forward into Marigold and almost being this sort of, like, outsider asshole. It's just so cool to see.
She rules, yeah. I mean, at one point I heard that there was, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just hope she doesn't go back to WWE or anything like that. Because it was, and she has, like, she books her own shows, right? She has her own, like, Suri pay-per-views, I think. Watched a few of those, but yeah, we'll have to do, if you ever want to do a match of the week on one of those, I'd love to chat with you about those, because I just love how hard hitting those Joshi matches are.
Oh, same. I adore it, man. And there's something that, like, you know, it's a weird thing with a lot of sort of like the perception of women's wrestling and American women's wrestling, and you know, I think there's some stuff that's really, really good, and then other stuff where I feel like it just gets, like, overhyped, and it's just not actually that good. And then I watch this top-level Joshi, and I'm just like,
oh my God,
this is the magic. This is what I'm talking about. Like, this is, like, the women are even better than most of the men's stuff that you're seeing. You know, same as, like, going back and watching any of that classic Joshi of, like, All Japan Women's or anything like that, dude. I just dig it so much. At this point, I try to make sure I include at least, like, one Joshi match every of those wrestling clubs that I've been putting on.
Oh, awesome.
And oftentimes, it's always a lot of people's favorite match of the night, which is so cool to see.
Yeah, there's a touch of something unexpected for some people maybe who don't watch those, haven't watched a lot of Joshi matches. But yeah, for me, it's just the wrestling. I don't know, it's just so pure and so violent. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh my God. You know, I don't know. It's like, it feels like the art's really coming through.
And like a real next level of pride, you know, you'll miss them and what they do. It's like something that they take so incredibly seriously. You know, almost like similar to, did you ever see that great Gaia Girls documentary?
I think so, yeah. The documentary?
Yeah, the one that sort of shows, like, there's that real famous scene where Meiko Satomura and the you know, newer, younger trainee are in the dojo, and the younger trainee is just, like, she's doing these drop kicks that just, like, couldn't break an egg, and then I think Satomura gives her just this, like, the most intense, like, jaw-dropping drop kick that you ever did see. It's just like, I'll never forget that. But just a tremendous documentary that really takes you into just how seriously this art form is taken in Japan.
Yeah, it is an art. It really is an art form, and the craft really shines when you see it. Like, again, like you were saying, like the skill, the extent to which how seriously they're taking it, the speed. I'm a big fan, but some other time. I don't want to hog up the match of the week with it, but yeah.
Hey dude, I try to keep this match of the week deal as honest as I absolutely can. You know, sometimes I might not have seen anything that really, like, took my fancy all that much, and then I'll, you know, it'll force me to go back and go down rabbit holes and watch some interesting stuff, and then be like, oh, okay, you know, this beta match or whatever might be. But it all, at the end of the day, is just whatever it was, the match that I watched that brought me the most joy that particular week. We have to get caught up on this podcast. We've got some more that have happened since these two.
Awesome.
Latest being that awesome Shingo versus Takeshita match from Wrestle Kingdom. I definitely have my match of the week picked out for this week, which I can't say too much about, but I think you'll dig it.
Okay, I'm excited. You know, I'll be tuning in. Well, thanks for having me on.
Dude, thank you.
It's my favorite thing to nerd out about wrestling and to be, you know, introduced to new stuff. So thank you so much.
Dude, my pleasure. You know, obviously I have a lot of fun just nerding out about wrestling too. When you get to have these chats, it obviously just brings, like, such a big smile to my face. And it's like such a wonderful part of the fandom, I think, of when you really get into the weeds of it, and you can really go down these weird rabbit holes, and then you can share that passion with others. I don't think it gets much better than that.
Absolutely. On that note, real quick, like, on your wrestling clubs that you host.
Yes.
How many people show up? Is it a lot of people?
Has grown a bit. So the first one that I did, I did have a couple people come along that I didn't really know who they were, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. But other than that, it was, you know, more like, you know, my friends and different people that wanted to come along to support. And then especially as I moved it to the Scratch Bar, and the Scratch has done a wonderful job in like advertising it and printing up like posters for the events and that kind of thing. It's sort of like created its own kind of like audience. Like, I had one of the latest events where it was like pretty well all like just, you know, people would have had become you know, followers of the club who weren't necessarily, you know, friends that I knew before that or anything. So
awesome.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it's not like a massive thing, but even like, you know, like, let's say 12 people, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really fun kind of level where you can keep it kind of intimate. You know, time we did some like trivia, and that like was really cool. So yeah, I'm looking to continue definitely doing that. And that's been a real great joy of mine for 2024 to get to do this.
Awesome. That's really exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about those as well.
For sure. I'll be swinging you those playlists in the newsletter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. I love the newsletter and the zines, all of it. And the book. I got the book and the video plant, you know? So,
dude, thank you so much. You've been such a wonderful supporter of mine over the years. And I really, really do appreciate it.
It's fun when, like, people come over, they're like, whoa, what's this? And they're kind of flip through it, you know? It's like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, man, it's good. It's what it's all about, so.
So nice, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, make sure you are following video.plant on Instagram. I really dig whenever you, share something new on there or share something in those stories from time to time. It kills me sometimes when I see there's like a notification of some sort of story and I'm like busy doing something and then I go back to like check it and it's like expired. That's the one thing that kills me with these stories. But other than that, dude, I love seeing everything that you post.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm probably going to move more in the direction of I'm building a website, so kind of like a blog thing. So I'll have a post on Instagram, maybe more of a self-created artsy kind of post, and then it will, you know, if people want to, you know, go to the website, you know, websites are dead, so that's, you know, VHS tapes are dead. So I guess I just have this habit of of clinging to things that aren't really alive, but hopefully, you know, some people still like the websites, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all about a good old website. I think that's something, I mean, that's a big reason why, you know, I do the website in addition to being able to, you know, do sales and stuff on there. I think there's something so nice about being able to, like, navigate, you know, through and you know, like, read stuff in a bit more of a self-directed manner than if you're just, you know, seeing stuff pop up in your feed on socials.
Right, right. Totally, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm doing this podcast at the front of my house. And there is a Komodo dragon that has just walked in front of me.
What?
Yeah. This is like a dinosaur on my driveway.
Whoa. I mean, honestly, I don't know much about the... Are they safe?
I wouldn't screw around with them. They're like... Holy this shit. Thing's probably at least like 4 feet long.
Dude, I mean, I'd be freaking out, but it's awesome.
It's just like slinking along the driveway. This is man, I hope my dogs do not interact with these things. Gosh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end today. Thanks so much, dude. Anything else to plug?
No, that's it. Thanks so much for having me on, and looking forward to whatever matches next.
Dude, always. All right. Thanks so much, and yeah, please shoot me anything that you think is cool.
I will do. Thanks, Chris.
All right, have a good one, man. Bye.
You too. Cheers.
Oh, man. That was so nice. That was so bloody nice. I absolutely adore getting to nerd out, as we said. And we got to run in my bloody Komodo jacket at the end of the episode. My gosh. Man, Richard's the best. Everyone be following Video Plant. Yeah, I'm looking forward to following on the new website that he's saying. But, yeah, even just the content that he's got up there so far is so cool. And really my honour to get to have, you know, done the logo and these different pieces of artwork and things that are in the wonderful Shrine video store that is the Video Plant in Richard's basement. This makes me so happy that I get to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, thank you to you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you know, got around to watching those matches. They just made me so happy, and I hope they brought you joy too. I'd like to say a big old thank you to the team at Social Suplex. Socialsuplex.com is the website, the hub of this podcast and a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts. Keeping it strong style, One Nation Radio, All Things Elite, the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk, the AEW Match Recommendation podcast, Imps WWE Adventure, all of the things. What a time to be alive. I really appreciate the support of the team at Social Suplex. And yeah, if you feel like you want, you know, some different kind of wrestling podcasts, bloody give them a listen. I'd highly recommend them. All a lot of fun, especially anything by that fella, young boy Josh Smith. He's a pretty rad dude. host of their New Japan podcast, Keep It Strong Style. But that brings us to the end of today's show. I did get into a bit more long form stuff, so I'm happy that we got to just pick two and talk about those in a nice manner. A little double feature action, as Richard said. I'm back at it. Fair bit of work to do for January, so I'll get back to it. Making the art for y'all. If any of y'all want to support in a financial manner, no pressure. But if you can be following me at Chris Things on Instagram, the website's christhings.com.au, and that's where you can find all of these art prints of said matches of the week, calendars, match of the week, year one book. We've got t-shirts, we've got all sorts of stuff and all sorts of other art prints from a variety of different Chris Things originals as well. So have a gander, enjoy, and always, if you ever want to just swing me a message and say hi and tell me what kind of wrestling you've been watching or whatever's going on in your life, please do, because I consider all of you guys my pals. But all right, thank you, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.